Monday, September 19, 2016, Dakota County Board of Equalization meeting at 3:01 p.m.
And to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, current copy of the bill, this meeting act is posted at the entrance there for everyone to view. Joan, would you call roll, please?
Rick?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Dick?
Yeah.
Bill?
Yes.
Okay, we're going to go into consent agenda items. Approval of the previous minutes of August 26, 2016. We all got those in the mail, so.
I read over them. I wasn't here, but I'll make a motion.
Okay.
To approve the consent agenda items, the minutes for August 26.
So I've got a motion by Scott Love and a second by Tony Gomez. To approve the minutes, do you want to call roll, please, Joan?
Tony?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Dick?
Yeah.
Bill?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes. Okay, we're going to go into item number two here is old business. Board to review and set value regarding the John Hughes property valuation protest, parcel number 22. And it looks like there's a 5 zeros and an 18 there. On a special valuation application for the agriculture and horticultural use by considering all papers relating to the protest and assessor's recommendation. Okay, John was here, and he brought all that information, and all the information that he brought, he can use in that as evidence for his claim. So we're going to let John do that. And then there was a special statute that John can also use that kind of puts his value back as a farm ag land value. So Jeff's going to fill us in a little bit on that. And if John wants to say a few words, he can too.
I want to say a few words because I shortened up my whole protest. I don't even think we have to go into it because
okay.
of the technicality I found, which I think you people can agree with. And I wrote that out very simply. And I'll just pass it out.
Okay. But it sounds like John has found something that maybe some other people can also use, too.
I would think it's only applicable to my farm, but everyone else in the county has the same right to look at it. As you know, I've been before you people many times, and I always lose. And I'll lose again this year if I base my argument on the fact that my farm's not worth what Mr. Curry has said it's worth. That's market value. My argument all along has been that constitutionally, market value is not what you tax the land on for tax purposes. Well, I constantly fail on that. I was even thrown out of the appeals court, as you probably know.
Mm-hmm.
This approach is entirely different. The special valuation regulation, and Kim should be here to defend her interpretation of that special valuation statute. It allows me to say that you can value my farm independently for its agricultural value, not, and that you don't have to hang your hat on the market value, which none of us can disprove, even if somebody out in Area 2 pays $16,000 an acre for his land. My approach in the past has always been, you can't apply that sale to my ground.
Correct.
I always lose.
Mm-hmm.
This doesn't do that.
Okay. And this is the Nebraska Statute 77-1343?
Yes.
Yes.
And
okay.
Ask me questions about it. If the definition of it is extremely simple. It says when my market value has been influenced by some other value that's undefined, I have the right to say, hey, can't use that. You got to use the actual value of the land for agricultural purposes.
Okay.
And by the way, I've always been on the side of the farmers and you people, as you should well know. I've never been arguing that my taxes are too high. So if you have any questions for me, read this over and see if you understand what I'm saying. And I guess the question I would ask the board, does anyone here say that the value of my farm went up in 2015?
What is the non-ag influence he's referring to?
The number that actually went up was $30,000, but that's insignificant. The fact is it went up instead of down. It didn't go up for agricultural reasons.
It went up, you believe, for other reasons.
It had to be other reasons. It wasn't agricultural.
No.
It definitely had to be for other reasons. I think you would agree it on your farm. Your farm value didn't go up in 2015 because of your corn and beans.
No, no. Your other reason would be other land sales that influenced the increase, right?
That's what has caused the increase.
Right, right.
And I'm saying in the special evaluation that's not applicable necessarily. Because those are, normally those would be agriculturally related, right or wrong. So,
I think you explained everything here on this piece of paper that you handed out to us, but maybe, Jeff, do you want to, I mean, is there anything else you want to say, John, or should we...
No, we can question him, too. I've always just would try to do the right thing.
I understand. That's how you tell my kids every day when they walk out. Do the right thing.
Well, taking your current value of $1,045,362 and dividing that by the 146 acres... comes out to $7,160, which is, what would you guys say? That's the value per acre of what your land's valued at.
Yes, yes. And the only thing is that for the best usage of the farm, I tried to sell half of that farm to my son. Half because I have two kids, and I wanted to eliminate the problem of what happens when I die.
Sure.
My son can't buy the farm at the current market prices because he can't get financed. Mm-hmm. The land is not worth that for agricultural purposes. And that's the only reason he can buy it is for agricultural purposes because he has no other, you know, vast value. The best value I could get for tax purposes would be the $3,500 that I can get from a lending agency.
Yeah, well, I'm telling you, John, if you were to put that out there on the market right now for $7,160, you'd have buyers.
Why? That's why this one says the market value is right. I know that. And that's why I've always lost.
Mm-hmm.
I've always lost because you can bring that point up, and you're absolutely right. And I'd be first to admit I could probably get a hell of a lot more than that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Matter of fact, I've been offered more than that.
Well, Jeff, have you got anything you want to add here?
Just a couple of things, really. First, you know, I'd just thank John for actually approaching this logically. It's better than having somebody come in and just say my land's too high.
Yeah.
You know, so I appreciate the fact that John comes in and brings me the Constitution, brings me the statutes, and makes me sit there and read this stuff. It's good to have people like that as a county assessor, especially a new one, to get you into it. The thing we gotta keep in mind, there's a lot of terms here that we all have to understand as far as the value goes. There's what the assessor does is set, and John has brought this up, the market value, which is also defined in Reagan statute as actual value. And Rick, that's the exact number, 7,000. I think he probably averages 7,200 an acre, mm-hmm. roughly, I think is about where he's at.
Right.
So that's what we would call a market, or the actual value of that land. But what the Constitution does is it takes agricultural land and makes it a distinct class of land. So by doing that, the legislature then passed a rule that said that land then, instead of being valued at that actual value or market, or 7,200, 7,500, whatever it is, it needs to be at 75% of that to start with. And that's what we call the actual assessed value. That's the value that we put on John's farm that he would pay taxes on. And that number's down in the fives. It's like 55. That takes him down. His total valuation on his farms probably in the, for his land is $823,120 of assessed value. Market value would be that $1 million. So really what John's looking at by saying it's special value, the thing I think we got to decide on is, and this goes back to kind of what I touched on before for special value. A lot of it, if you read the regulations, Chapter 11, it's a little bit more clear, but it's for guys, I think, Rick, it's going to start to affect you kind of out where you are, and where we're really going to deal with this, besides John's farm, would be Ho-Chunk. It's when you have a residential, commercial, or industrial influence, which is that's where, you know, influence is outside of what it's going to bring for the price of hay, corn, beans, whatever you can make off of it. Mm-hmm. And what that is when that comes into place, if somebody decides not to sell, they want to keep that farm, they're still not, they haven't been annexed yet, they put this special valuation in place to say, hey, we're not going to say, even though your highest and best use for that land now would be to sell it for $20,000 an acre for residential development, you want to keep it at $5,500 assessed or $7,500 market or actual value. So that then it's easy and clear to say the outside influence, because we have to go through and get that value based on what that influence is, and in South Sioux, it's going to be residential, clearly. That's going to affect all those guys out there, because it's all farmed along the river, and all of it's going to be developed. And as it gets bought, it's $20,000 an acre or more, and nobody can farm at $20,000 an acre. So that's where you get the ag value, and you do your 75%, and then they can still stay in a range where they can maybe still farm it and make money.
Let's see, that's where we run into a disagreement, is because the reason no one can pay for a farm at $16,000 for agricultural reasons. So that sale is obviously a bad sale. But the Nebraska Property Division forces Jeff to use it to compare it for my farm. And that's where the problem lies. So the only real way to value my farm is the income way, which is he's allowed to do, but he never does it because he's restricted. Since you're really trying to solve this, go back to 1996. Betty Barnes, assessor, she absolutely refused to say the Leonard farm sale should be applied to my farm. She eventually did. And the reason she did was simply and wholly the Nebraska Board, the Nebraska Department of Agriculture said they would take her accreditation away if she didn't. That sale was a horror case, and you people should have rebelled against it. I protested that year, but I brought the ag manual in. I protested against the ag manual, not because the ag manual was bad. It was great. It brought in the soil classification, which is the only real way that we can evaluate my land with anybody else's land. I have a good farm. It's got good soil.
Well, yeah, we're not contesting that, but so today.
Now, here's, you know, you said you have all the evidence. You all have this tax paper. It shows that the residentials have remained very constant in the county. Look at the farm. And this, the Department of Revenue actually published the fact that they're punishing all the ag in McCoy County by 320%. It's asinine. It's unreal, and I'm trying to change it. You remember this chart?
Yeah, I am.
Pass it around. I don't have any extra copies because I know you all had it.
I would say, John, next year will reflect some ag land values decreasing.
I'm not disagreeing that it will. But that doesn't... The reason for the whole special evaluation was just as Jeff explained it. Your farm should be up for special evaluation where it's located next to house too. I don't know whether you've ever...
I don't know. We've never... back in the day when they had the green belt, it was. But I, since they did away with that, you know, there's never...
But
now that I know about this, I'm definitely going to look at it.
Well, look at Dakota County is basically a green belt the whole county. Every farm in Dakota County is impacted by an influence that doesn't happen in residentials. And what's that influence? Basically, not the technicality that I talk about here, but basically because of land scarcity. The inventory is fixed.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone wants to increase the size of their farm. There's no land available to do it. And that's what causes, I think, this situation there. We don't have to live with it.
Yeah.
This is the only time that you people have an opportunity that you can put the valuation of my farm based up on its agricultural worth without running afoul of the whole state of Nebraska.
Okay. Well, what's the board want to do? Do you want to set John's value? We at 75%, and I'm sure Jeff will have to refine it, but was around $5,400.
Yeah, he's at 823, which is...
120.
Yeah, there you go, which is equalized with all ag. Essentially, all ag in the county is special value because of that 75%. The only time the math comes into play is if you have that outside influence. So really our question is, are high ag sales an outside influence? And to me, I would say I would never buy a farm for $12,000 an acre. I'd certainly sell some land for $12,000, but I would never buy it that. And for a beginning farmer, you'd never buy it that and make it.
No.
And that's what's important for us to consider here. Our own assessor ought to be able to value your land and my land. He can't because of the interpretation of the regs.
Yeah. Which is why, so, you know, at John's actual, at $7,500 on average an acre, he'd be over $1 million. With his 75% reduction we have because the Constitution allows us as a separate class of property that we give everybody, it's down to 56, 54, so it'd be $5,500 roughly an acre, which is about anybody else with the same soil types, that's kind of what they're paying.
That was my question. This is based on soil types, soil
mm-hmm. yeah, so
specifications in the soil manual.
Yep, exactly. So everything, it's yep, irrigated, dry, right. Grass, and you get your trees, and you got your waste, or the main, sure. Or your main categories. And after that, we break it down all the way down. Like an example on John's would be Omidae silt loam, and a soil symbol that we get from the state is 7874. It's a 1D1. That's the most expensive dry dirt we have in the county. And at market value, it's $7,515 at the value which is assessed that he's going to pay taxes on. We reduce it down to, it's actually a little below, so we're actually running below 75, so we're better than special valuation right now on ag. It's 56.35. Now is where it sits.
Before you vote on the values that he comes up with, remember, I'm not really protesting. I'm protesting the old concept of 75%, for example. And why market values why I am paying so much more for the school in Homer than the most expensive house in Homer by a factor of 300%. That's what we need to be addressing rather than just the taxes on my farm. You people try to do the best you can. Jeff is under tremendous pressure from the Nebraska board. The governor tells you in writing that the taxes on my farm and the taxes on your farm are too high. Why in the hell doesn't he correct the problem? And the problem was never corrected when they came up with this ridiculous 75% area. Do you know there's been over 700 changes in the Nebraska property tax? And it's all because of the wrong definition. The Constitution is crystal clear that the taxes on my farm should be equalized.
And we can hammer that over.
No, but I just want to make sure that you're not... Sure, I'd be happy if I get my tax on my farm reduced. That's never been what I'm after. I'm trying to find some way that we can force the state or somebody to go to the Court of Appeals and get the whole basic concept of 75% eradicated. That's a lousy way to evaluate what your farm is worth.
I understand.
Having said that,
They dictate a lot to us.
I know,
John. You know that.
Absolutely.
And I get what John's after. He wants us to go after legislation that will reduce us. But and they've tried in the past. They've tried it. To go off of what it raises and produces. But we always get fought down because we got a bunch of people in the legislature that aren't farmers.
Agreed, and that's exactly the point I've been making, Rick.
Yeah. So what do we want to do here for John?
Is it all equalized?
Yeah. So actually, if we pass the special valuation, and I'll run the math back through the department, John's value would actually go up.
That's what I'm trying to point out to you. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
I mean, it would, because he doesn't have an outside influence. It'd go way up if he had an outside influence. I was commercial residential or something like that, but we'd back it down 75. But with what we do at his actual value, at the 75, we back it down to 56 now. We're not quite at 75. We're a little bit below on our reports and opinions from the Turk. All we could do is just value him like we do any normally, and he'd go up maybe a point or two.
And that's why it's so extremely important to get a reading from Kim on the statute itself, because the statute itself gives you the opportunity, for the first time that I've known, to actually have Jeff run a cost value on my farm with the existing price for corn and beans. By the way, the USDA says my farm is a grain farm. The referee says my farm is a grain farm. I don't know whether you read the transcript that I've transmitted to you previously. Doug says that he's never defined a reason why anybody pays all this big money for a farm, and yet that's what the government is insisting you use to value that Jeff has just come up with. That's what's basically wrong.
Well, I'm going to call for a motion, guys.
Well, as far as the equalization, we're doing our job going with our assessor's recommendation of $823,920, and that'll be my motion.
We got a motion by Bill Rohde to set the current value at
$823,120. I'll second that.
And I got a second by Dick McNair. You want to call roll on that, Joan?
Scott?
Yes.
Dick?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
And then I'll report, gentlemen, that I've spent countless hours proving again and again and again that there's something terribly wrong with the tax situation. The governor admits it. He sends an official... Illegal, in my opinion,
reduction of your taxes and my taxes that's been legitimately created by you people. What right does he have to do that? And yet you went right ahead and approved the continuation of, when you had this opportunity here, if you approved my special evaluation, all you would have had to do is ask him to go back and come up with an evaluation based on a reality, corn and beans, in my case, and you, no one could fault you.
Sure they could.
You
know, how could they?
Well, it's not
the
equal.
The statute is right.
John, it's not equal.
And has,
as ag land and your neighbor and my land.
No, that's
land.
The problem. That's why Kim should be here. The special evaluation very clearly eliminates the need for equalization. And basing your whole opinion, again, on equalization is a wrong, wrong path. And I just want to make that point very clear.
I understand your frustration.
It's not frustration.
Well, it is.
Well, why do you say that?
Well, I you're frustrated, I'm sure.
No, because I would.
This argument belongs to Lincoln.
No, I'm not frustrated. I'll appeal your decision to the jury.
That's, and you're right.
And I want you to do that. I want you to appeal it to the Turk. But if we would have lowered your value, then the Turk would have brought it right back and raised it up.
You're not lowering my value. You're not. The statute doesn't require you to lower my value.
No, and I know what. If all it would have done was, if we would have valued your land according to its agricultural income, then the Turk would have found fault in that, and they would have been right back at us again.
Why do you think that?
Because in the past they've done it.
They would have to interpret the statute that we're talking about. And the guideline that Jeff has already showed you, the math in that is wrong. So we're right back to 1996 when we had an opportunity to start the ball rolling on getting it corrected.
The equalization part, Josh, I remember you and I talked about that in the past. So the statutes that are applicable to special valuation are Chapter 77, 13, 43 through 13, 48. And 77, 13, 44, under subsection 4, it actually brings the County Board of Equalization accountable back under the Tax Equalization Review Commission for equalization. So it looked like it is. They put it in here. It's on, and I give you a copy of this, 77-13-44. So equalization comes back into play. And so what Rick is saying is,
we're all done and you voted. And I'm not faulting the vote, but I'm only pointing out that paragraph 1 of Article 8 of the Constitution says very clearly that you have an obligation to equalize my taxes with all the real property in Dakota County.
I think we've done that.
You thought you had done that?
Anglin.
It has nothing to do with it. It says real property. The Constitution.
Yeah. We've got another case that we've got to hear today.
Yeah.
And we've got a gentleman here, so we need to move on here. So thank you.
I just wanted to point out that you have not equalized the taxes as required by Article Paragraph 1 of Article 8 of the Constitution.
Let's keep moving.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
Thank you allowing me to
thank you, John.
Take this much of your time.
Not a problem, John. Take care.
John.
Okay, our next, we're going to move down to new business. And we've got a closed session to discuss pending litigation for Tax Equalization and Review Commission case Tyson versus Dakota County 15C0074 and 15C0075. So we're going to go into, I need a motion.
I'll make a motion to go in closed session.
Got a motion by Scott Love.
Second.
Second by Tony Gomez to go into closed session.
Thank you.
I'll
take care.
Are you representing?
I'm from the City Journal.
Yeah, you'll have to.
I know. But how will I know when you're done?
Oh, I'll come back.
Oh, we'll come back out on the door.
Okay. Yeah, we'll hold the door and I'll come get you.
Okay. He's closing right now.
Yeah. Thank you.
Roll call.
Dick?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes. I don't apologize for letting him ramble, but it's like Scott.
I know. I had him in my office for almost an hour and a half.
Yeah.
Are we off? We are. No, John.
Go ahead.
We off?
To record that. Now he needs to.
Okay. I move to come out of closed session.
I second that.
Got a motion by Bill Rohde and a second by Dick McNair to come out of closed session. Well, call roll, please, Joan.
Bill?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Dick?
Yes.
Okay, well, we discussed the case of Tyson versus Dakota County. And now we're going to move on to board approve or disapprove settlement negotiations in Turk case versus Tyson, Dakota County. And the same 15C-0074 and 15C-0075.
Well, I guess if it's to approve or disapprove of what they want, I would say disapprove and counteroffer back to our appraisal dollar amount.
Okay. We got a motion by Scott Love to disapprove.
That's my motion.
The settlement negotiations going from Tyson and go back to our original appraisal value of ours, and that was Scott's motion, right?
Yep.
Yeah, I second it.
And we got a second by Tony Gomez. Call roll, please.
Rick?
Yes.
Tony?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Dick?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Okay. Is there any...
What, something else, Jeff?
Oh, I just, and that would be 15C-74. The 75 one is the one we can agree to. That's
okay, the 75 is the...
They accepted the appraisal on the office
building. On the office building.
On the office
okay.
building.
Okay, so my motion is the 15C-0074, okay?
Okay.
And then...
To accept.
To...
So let's start over again. I want you to resend your last motion.
Okay. I'm going to resend my last motion.
And Tony,
resend my second.
And Tony's going to resend his second. And we're going to do this again. Go ahead, Scott.
Okay. I want to make a motion to disapprove the settlement negotiations. Okay. With their 70 for 74. Yeah, for 15C-0074. To our appraisal.
Okay.
Is that correct?
That's correct. And then we want to accept
15C-0075.
We'll accept their offer there. Okay, so that's Scott's motion.
Second.
And we got a second by Tony Gomez.
Okay, Tony, I guess if I could have done it all in rattled numbers, it would have been a lot easier for me.
Tony?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Dick?
Yes.
Bill?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Okay, that's easy enough.
Who seconded that?
Tony seconded. Okay, is there any mail or emergency business? Any public comment?
Public comment?
Meeting's adjourned.